Yo, yo, what's up? This is Taman.
It's Tyrese.
We are the Lazy Dads, and here we are, hopefully. So
we'll see how it goes.
If everything goes according to plan, this will be the first episode that has video.
Yep.
And if everything doesn't go according to plan, then you'll just hear us talking about it.
Yeah. So, yeah. One of two things are going to happen.
What's up, man? What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Back in the full swing of things for the high school basketball season. So I've been completely busy. We haven't had last Saturday was our last practice, our last day off, and we've been going since.
Okay.
We had a couple scrimmages this week. We had a jamboree last night, Friday night. We had a, we came up with our little own version of, you know how the colleges do the Midnight Madness?
Midnight Madness.
Yeah, we did a little version of that. So kids had a lot of fun with it. If you go, I'll send it to you on Instagram. Had a dunk contest. One of the kids broke out a windmill dunk. Like it's pretty live. We got a Thanksgiving tournament starting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we're trying to get a dub in.
So is that like a preseason tournament or
the season started counts towards the record and
okay.
Yeah, the actual best player in the state for the 2024 class. Is the headliner for the tournament. So if we win that, man, it's going to put us on the map for the season for sure. So hopefully we can get a dub in that. But Jordan Ant.
Good luck to you, man.
Appreciate it. Jordan Ant just finished their flag football season. So it's on to basketball for Jordan and wrestling for Ant. So that never stops either.
All right.
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
Hey, man, when you're the parent of high achieving kids, so
yeah, it's crazy. Man, you're making me look bad. I should have got me a mimosa.
Yeah, you know, a little coffee, a little mimosa.
Hey, I should. Oh man, you got both.
To entice the viewers if they do get to see this.
So. I should have got me something. But now, what you been up to?
Yeah, man, I was at the grocery store when I texted you earlier. So
yeah, oh yeah. So you just knew. You already knew. I'm gonna have to remember that.
Hey, man, Sunday morning, man.
Yeah, no, it's probably for the best. I should probably get running. I gotta get Jordan Ant going on a run when it warms up a little bit. Yeah.
Oh man, them boys, what is it, about 28, 29?
Yeah, man, it's cold.
Yeah, that ain't cold, man.
That ain't cold food.
That'd be all right. They start moving, the sweat gonna warm them up. Nah, man.
Yeah, that's the problem, getting moving. That's the issue.
You don't even need a jacket at 29 degrees.
The issue is getting moving. Like, yeah, once you get moving, then you'll probably want to get out of whatever long sleeve you in or whatever, but getting moving is the part that's the issue. That's the problem that needs help.
Gotcha.
Oh man. But yeah, what y'all been up to?
All right, man. So what's up? Oh man. Nothing really. Yeah, nothing.
Oh yeah. Huh?
Terry been homesick, week with a nasty little cough.
Sounds about right.
Been to the doctor a couple times and nothing more than that. So I don't know. But yeah, everybody going good. They only got 2 days of school this week.
Yeah. It's the same.
So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's the same everywhere pretty much. But yeah, man, just yesterday I watched football all day.
I'm mad I missed it, man. Because we were at a jamboree basically all day.
Yesterday was definitely a good football watching day.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, yeah, we gonna get into that anyway.
Definitely a good day. All right, man. So what's up? What we got on the agenda?
So we starting. Oh, well, we got talking about the NFL. KD has some comments that made no sense. College football getting going. Yesterday was crazy. The Jeff Saturday hire was weird. We were supposed to talk about it last week. We just never were able to get into it. Social media topic that I saw. And then, but before we start all that, the World Cup is kicking off here shortly. So I wanted to get this out.
FIFA's full of shit. I just want to put that on the record.
That's part of my, I wanted to get it out. Like, World Cup's going on, everybody, you know, it's one of the biggest events in the world, but I think people are losing sight of how we got here, which ended with a lot of corruption, I think, in Qatar even getting the bid in general. But then even on a bigger note, you're talking about human rights violations and people not getting their actual wages, people dying, putting these stadiums together. I mean, at one point, I read that they were paying people 50 cents a day or something crazy like that to build these billion-dollar
slave labor. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, yeah, they migrant worker rights, women's rights violations, you know, the LGBT people's rights, stuff like that. So, you know, everybody's going to celebrate the event, but I hope no one lose sight of how we got here and the issues that have surrounded even the start of this event. Like, one, it's crazy that a place without the infrastructure to have an event like this was even able to get the World Cup. But then two, all the issues that have plagued the start and setup of this event. Then, so yeah, I just wanted to make sure we keep that in mind as everybody gets ready to celebrate their country's does this trophy have a name? I don't know what it's called.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know the player of the year is, what is it? Ballon d'Or, something like that.
Something like that.
But yeah, Qatar is just, or Qatar. Let me get my pronunciation right. So, yeah, it's one issue after another. Yeah. Apparently they've banned beer in the stadiums. Yeah. They've been seizing and confiscating journalists, cameras and other things.
Yeah, so man, it's
supposedly
pretty crazy.
They had a program where they were paying people to come in from like overseas internationally.
Yeah.
After they decided they weren't selling beer, they decided that they didn't have to pay these people. So essentially all inclusive trip turning out to we're gonna pay for your airfare, we're gonna pay for your hotel, but other than that, you're on your own.
Which doesn't sound all the way
around. It doesn't sound too bad, but
no, I'm saying it doesn't sound like when I think of all inclusive, I think everything's set. Like, I don't gotta worry about nothing.
Well, that's exactly what I was gonna say. So, like, that's like getting a trip to Hawaii all inclusive. Like, oh yeah, you gotta pay for your food and transportation to and fro.
That's not all inclusive.
That's not all inclusive, bro. But.
So they set you up, make you sound like, all right, yeah, cool, this sounds great. And then they hit you with the okie doke on the back end. But yeah, man, like I said, everybody's gonna celebrate the event, but I don't think we can lose sight.
Well, how we got here. There is a story on NPR, I actually heard part of it this morning, that details all of, I guess, all aspects of the corruption.
Right.
for Qatar. It's a very interesting read because, I'm just going to say it. Shame on FIFA, man.
Yeah.
Y'all could have hosted this anywhere.
Yeah.
And you decided that this money was more important than, FIFA always decides the money is more important than doing the
right
thing.
Does. But NCAA, NFL, they all do.
I was going to ask you about that.
What?
No. Who's more corrupt, FIFA or the NCAA?
It has to be FIFA because they're worldwide. NCAA is just national.
Yeah, I mean they're playing on a bigger level.
I honestly think
they're running neck and neck.
FIFA's on a bigger scale. The NCAA just hits closer to home. Like so, the Qatar thing is it's highlighted for me because I feel like. America got cheated out of that bid for the 2022. And I also feel like that's why they got the, 2026 bid? I think it is. So they kind of put up red flags like, hey, how did this country get the world? How did they beat us out? And, you know, bribery and all that stuff came to the forefront is what the alleged claim was. But so I think that's how North America ended up with one because FIFA was like, all right, we got to get them something. Because, I mean, if you think about it,
we got
North America, North America is one of the few areas that has the infrastructure to host.
They can host, that
just
has
about
the infrastructure
everything,
to
right.
actually host something.
Host World Cups, Olympics, like they have everything. Because, I mean, North America sports are pretty big. United States mainly. Carrying the bulk of that professional sports are huge here. So hosting an event here, the infrastructures are already there. Just pick a city that has both football and basketball. And you have everything you need. So I think that's one of the things that highlighted like, man, FIFA. I think people knew FIFA was corrupt because, I mean, I even go back to and the IOC falls under this too. It's like, how are these countries like Brazil? You're giving these countries these bids to host the World Cup and host the Olympics. And then after those sports leave, you just have these desolate stadiums that, you know what I'm saying, people aren't getting full use of. Mm-hmm. Whereas no one's building a new stadium to host the World to host the World Cup when it comes to North America. It's all here. So all the infrastructure is already here because of professional sports. So, I mean, there are college stadiums that can host events depending on what state you're in. So, I mean, Ann Arbor seats 112,000 people. So Happy Valley seats almost 100,000 people. So the infrastructure here is already there for whatever you wanted to get into. So it's weird that a place that has no infrastructure and then moving forward I will watch the World Cup. I'm not gonna pretend like I'm a huge diehard soccer fan, but you know, I've dabbled since I was stationed in Korea, but I watch, it's entertaining, but I don't like go out of my way to catch a game, so I'm not gonna say I'm a diehard, but I'm
used to watching it in the summer when there is a lull North American sports.
That too. It's going to be a little different.
I mean, if I happen to catch a game while it's on, then, you know, I'll tune in. But I don't know. Oh, man. Yeah. FIFA is horrible. Yeah. Last thing on this. Did you hear that Qatar somebody tried to bribe Ecuador? Tried to bribe players from Ecuador to lose the first match. Eight players.
That's funny.
Eight players got offered somewhere in the range of like $1 million+.
That's funny.
To lose the game and we'll see. We will see how that one plays out. But I don't think they're gonna do it now because, you know, the world is watching.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they do it anyway. Those dudes, they take that stuff. They take the World Cup serious. So I don't.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I guess money talks. You never know what somebody might do for a buck, but I doubt it. Yeah, I mean, I feel like a World Cup fame, a World Cup run would get you more fame in your home country.
Oh yeah. No doubt.
For them,
but yes, eight players were bribed $7.4 million total. Ooh. To lose the game.
Ooh. Man, you know what? I'm gonna be honest, man. I'd probably lose that game. All right. Maybe that means I'm corrupt too. All right, so. The social media question that I came up with. So I saw somebody posted something on Instagram about the receivers that were traded this past offseason. So I wanted to get your take here. I was always told growing up, you know, watching, even playing fantasy football to an extent, you know, receivers are a dime a dozen. You know, everybody always says that. Everybody said that my whole life. And a lot of times, you know, when it comes down to paying some of these big name receivers, some of them usually end up walking. And that's what happened. The Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill. The Packers traded Davante Adams. And then the Titans traded AJ Brown. Like those were the big name trades, top receivers traded. And if you look, I mean, the Chiefs are slowly starting to pick it up, but they actually had to go out and acquire a light version of Tyreek Hill and Kadarius Toney. But still, I mean, all of those players staying with those teams like Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, and AJ Brown, all those teams that they were traded from could use the help, especially looking at Green Bay and looking at the Tennessee situation. So instead of paying these guys, you ship them off for draft picks, thinking that you could just draft another receiver to, you know, replace their production. But, and again, maybe this is just my philosophy on life, but I'm a bird in hand guy. I always say that. So if I got somebody already playing at that level, man, why would you get rid of them? So I wanted to see what you thought about those trades and how they're looking so far. Because right now, I mean, Tyreek Hill is leading the league in receiving yards. He's killing it in Miami. AJ Brown's having a great year in Philly. And Davante Adams isn't having an amazing year in Las Vegas, but he's had dominant games, and then Green Bay has struggled without him. So it just kind of highlights like they probably should have tried to at least get those players to stay, I think. But again, I'm a bird in hand guy.
So I definitely I feel you on the bird in hand. Why trade away a known entity,
right,
for the possibility,
right, of exactly, something that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's what I don't get.
As far, I mean, honestly, I think Green Bay, particularly Green Bay, Kansas City, they may figure it out. You know, that's yet.
Yeah, I mean, they got Kadarius Toney.
Green Bay overplayed their hand.
That'll help.
They overplayed
their
hand.
I don't know what Green Bay thought or saw in their young receivers.
I don't know who they thought they were going to throw to.
They've been struggling since. But, like that. Yeah, they haven't been able to find it since, and I think I think they let the idea of receivers being replaceable get to their head. When,
well,
like, some, sure, there are some receivers who are probably replaceable, but when you got guys like Davante Adams, man, like he carries such a heavy load for them, like there's no way that they actually truly felt like they could replace him. In my mind, I don't think they did, but
yeah,
I don't know.
No, oh no, they definitely haven't. I'm sure they regret that. I know Aaron is probably letting them know about about Davante every day.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I mean, so I guess it's a bit of a paradigm shift. So, yeah, some receivers you can probably plug and play, you know. But, I mean, there's got to be a dividing line, I would say.
I agree.
Top 15 receivers or so, you probably just need to pay.
I mean, yeah.
And granted, you know, sometimes they want more money than the team is willing to come up with. And I understand all that. But, yeah, sometimes you just need to pay those.
Yeah, man. Especially teams that are in supposedly win now mode, like Green Bay. Like, yeah, there's no reason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. All right, man. So, Jeff Saturday.
Oh, go ahead. Quick question. Not question, but just something I wanted to mention. Since you were talking about the Raiders, so there is a rumor going around that Josh McDaniels should be fired or should have been fired, but the Raiders are cash poor. And essentially, they're stuck with him through next season.
I don't know how you can be cash poor. How does that even work?
They said the Raiders are a cash poor franchise, and they have no choice but to stick with Josh McDaniels through next season because they can't afford to buy him out.
Hey, man. So. That's fair. I always say, man, that sucks for Josh McDaniels because I always say best job in sports is a fired head coach because getting paid to sit at home.
This is true.
Game doesn't be better than getting paid to sit at home. That sounds like a dream job right there. Man, get paid, just be at the crib. Man, what do? Collect these settlement checks from the Raiders? No big deal. All right, man. Jeff Saturday.
And so this will be a good segue into Jeff Saturday because they lost to him. They lost to the Colts last week. But
yeah.
Continue.
So a former high school coach. All right. So the whole my complaint with the Jeff Saturday hire has nothing to do with Jeff Saturday. I don't know him. He may turn out to be the next Bill Belichick.
Hey man, he a Carolina alum. You should.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with Jeff Saturday. I have a problem with the NFL showing its hiring practices and everybody being cool with it. So to me, like this falls along the lines of nepotism, favoritism hire for me. So you hire this guy you just hired him out of the booth. Like when he got hired, I swear I assumed he was on the staff. My homeboy had to let me know, like, nah, Jeff Saturday's not on the staff. Like, I thought he was on the staff in some capacity. So you just bring a guy in off the booth or out the booth and you ignore every other guy that you have on your staff, which is crazy to me. You got, tons of guys on your staff that could have been the interim, and the way the owner talked, the way Irsay made it sound like he's trying to keep Jeff Saturday for the long term, which is also crazy. So you completely circumvent the Rooney rule. So you just completely don't even give a black coach the opportunity to get this job. I mean, it's one of those things. How is the playing field ever going to be level when shit like this is happening? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that a black coach should have gotten this interim job, but it's one of those things like you would never see a who is it? I don't know. I can't think of a broadcaster that with no coaching experience, a black broadcaster with no coaching experience to just come out of the booth and just take over a team. I mean, it's black coaches with decades of experience that still don't have a head coaching job. And you just pluck this dude out of the booth because he's your guy. Like, that's crazy to me. So I think it's a slap in the face to all coaches in general, because if I'm even white coaches too, if I'm a white coach that I've been coaching for a decade and I'm on the Colts staff and I didn't even get a look.
What the hell?
Yeah, I'm mad. Let alone minority coaches on the staff. Like if I'm coaching on that staff, like I'm pissed off. Like I don't understand how you could get ignore all of us who have been grinding all year, grinding in the off season. You know what I'm saying? You just get this dude who's just been an analyst. And like I said, I don't know anything about Jeff Saturday. Everybody says he's a great dude. He might be a great dude. He might be greatest dude to ever walk this earth. But it doesn't change the fact that the process of the NFL's hiring processes, it's jacked up.
Oh yeah.
It's broken. It's completely broken.
And bad optics.
Yeah.
At first. But I'm just gonna echo Joy Taylor. Like you say, it's a slap in the face. I come to work, I grind, yeah. I show up early, I stay late, I put years in, and none of that matters.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
It literally doesn't matter. And I mean, yeah, it's a real bad look for Indianapolis. For the league in general. Yep. And, you know, not even mention, like I say, not even talking about the Rooney Rule, because if I'm a white coach, I'm pissed.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, any coach that
what did he do?
Right. But, yeah. Like, from any coach's perspective, I'm pissed. But specifically from a minority coach's perspective, like, it's like, man, the playing field will never be level, because you're just, now you're just grabbing dudes off the street. Like, so now, like, there's a precedent.
You want a coach?
Precedent for this now. Like, yeah. Well, the Colts did it, and it worked. I mean, he won his first game. You know what I'm saying? So now people can say, well, the Colts did it, so why can't we try it? So, like, and I'm not saying that a minority coach should have taken or should have been given the chance to be the interim coach, because, I mean, interim coach, that doesn't automatically translate to head coach next year. But what I'm saying is, it's just the idea that a guy can just come out of the booth and just start coaching, whereas it's tons of guys in the league who haven't gotten a shot and they've been coaching in the league for decades. That's what's crazy to me. So that's my issue with the Jeff Saturday thing. Again, it's not a knock on Jeff Saturday. It's more of a knock on the whole way that the NFL hires is broken in general.
Definitely agree.
All right. I guess real quick, since we're on the NFL, I want to throw this point out there. Transitioning to your boy Tom Brady. I don't think now that some new news has come to light, I don't think he got divorced because of football. Because they're talking about him losing a lot of money investing into FTX. And I think that's not being talked about enough. Because I think that is the real reason that he is now going through a divorce. Because I think he took, they said he, the last report I saw, it said he invested a substantial amount of his $650 million fortune into the now bankrupt company of crypto FTX. So I think he convinced his wife, look, babe, we got to invest in this. If we hit the ground running on this, Bitcoin is going to be the future. And they want me to be the spokesperson for FTX. They just put us in the billionaire status. And now it's not a good look. So that's what I think happened. This is all hypothetical. I don't have any, I wasn't there for those conversations. But I'm assuming that's how it went down. Because I've had those same types of investment talks at my house. I don't have $650 million to invest. But I've had those same types of talks in my house when it comes to buying stocks and things like that. So I think he did that. And now that company has gone bankrupt because it looks like they just let a crazy person run a company. But that's a different conversation for a different podcast. But I think that is the real reason why one Thomas Eugene Brady is now getting divorced.
Just can't leave Thomas alone.
I'm just saying, man. I just wanted to get that out there. Like, everybody is on this football thing. Like, oh man, can't believe he put his football love over his family. Like, nah, man. That man made a bad investment, and his wife is not happy. And that's why, look, man, I get it. I get it, man. She's mad. Hey, that's what happens. You fucked up. So sorry, Thomas, but that is my theory, and that's the one I'm sticking with. All right, man, let's get into this college football.
Thomas, give us a call. Let us know. Let us know if Tyrese is
if anything, on point. If anything, I'm about to get sick. All right. So yesterday's college football slate was nuts. So Georgia only won by 10 points. Ohio State essentially handled Maryland, but they won by 13. Michigan won on a last second field goal. TCU snuck one out against Baylor. South Carolina smacked Tennessee. USC snuck out against UCLA.
Shout out to Spencer Rattler, man. He finally
does look like that. The dude that they that say guy. He's gonna be. Yeah, Oregon snuck one out against Utah. Ole Miss got smacked by Arkansas, so there any chance that they had is up in flames. Who else? Any other? Nope.
Notre Dame,
man.
With an
well, did you see that snow was crazy.
With an impressive.
That snow.
Oh yeah,
crazy.
I did. Yeah.
No, yeah. That was insane. But nah, man. So the college football playoff is. I don't even know where we stand. I mean, so UNC had an outside chance, but they shit the bed against Georgia Tech.
Anymore.
Josh Downs dropped a crucial touchdown that could have given UNC the lead against Georgia Tech.
Man, did you? Oh, well, you didn't see it because, man, Drake May looked so hurt when he dropped that.
Yeah, man. I bet,
Downs looked hurt, but Drake May just looked, he looked so broke.
That's his Heisman chances, man. And I feel bad for him. Because he's been balling. I mean, he's thrown for 3,600 yards, 34 touchdowns, and only 4 interceptions. This game against Georgia Tech marks the second game that he hasn't thrown for 300-plus yards. I mean, if we would have did a show last week.
In the first game, he didn't have a touchdown, I think.
First game against FAMU? Nah, he threw for 5 touchdowns.
No, I'm saying.
Yesterday. Oh, yeah, yeah. The first game he didn't have a touchdown. That's the first game he didn't have every game this season. He's thrown for 2 or more touchdown passes. Like the kid has been cooking, but last night they couldn't get it going. He only threw for 202 yards. Yeah, man, he's I'm sorry, that's the fourth time he had. Last night was the fourth time, not the third time that he hasn't thrown for 300 plus yards. So. I mean, he's been balling, and if we would have did a show last week, I had a whole spiel about why he should have been the Heisman after throwing for 448 yards and 3 touchdowns against Wake Forest. So, but I mean, that's college football for you, man. I think he still gets an invite to. I think he still gets an invite to New York, but. There's no way that he actually has a shot to win the high.
So who are your top three?
Well, my top three coming in were Drake May at 1, CJ Stroud and Bryce Young somewhere behind him. It didn't matter the ranking. But now I think it'll probably go to CJ Stroud, even though, I don't know, man, he's been all right. I don't think he's been as good as Drake May, but that's just me. That's just me, man. I've watched them both play, and look, maybe I'm just a homer, and that is possible. But I just feel like the weapon that CJ Stroud has in Marvin Harrison Jr. made a catch yesterday that was so ridiculous. Yeah. Like he's done it. It seems like every week he makes a catch that is so ridiculous. It's like, man, who couldn't look good throwing to this kid? So. I don't want to take, you know, CJ Stroud has to get it there, but nothing he's done has been overly impressive. He's only thrown for 2,900 yards. He has 35 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions. So yardage wise, he's well behind Drake May. He's got Drake May by 1 touchdown pass and, they got the same number of interceptions. So Yeah, I don't think he's looked as good as Drake May. So it'll probably be invites to what's it called? The invites to New York will probably be Stroud, May, Hendon Hooker, and then Bryce Young, and maybe Corum from Michigan, because he's had a really good season too. He ran for.
I'm not real high on him, but yeah, I mean he has a decent.
I mean he's had a good year. I think he'll be fifth for sure in the voting at the end. But I think the four quarterbacks. But I don't even know if Hendon Hooker get an invite now after he just got hurt. He got hurt against South Carolina, but even he got hurt in the fourth quarter. So even before getting hurt, he didn't look good. So now
he did not.
He doesn't have a championship game to finally impress voters. So I think that will give Drake May a pseudo leg up on Bryce Young, because Drake May will be playing for the ACC championship game. He is the last game of the night before voting, before Heisman ballots are due. Heisman ballots are due an hour after the maybe more than an hour, but they're due after the South Carolina Clemson ACC championship game. So he may have a leg up. He has a leg up on Young. Obviously, he has a leg up on Hendon Hooker. He may even get a leg up on CJ Stroud if Ohio State doesn't beat Michigan next Saturday. So he may get the chance to be the final thing that voters see. And if he goes out and he throws for 400 yards and four or five touchdowns, that's going to be the last thing that voters see. So, he has the opportunity to put himself in the race, but it's a two loss champion, or possibly a three loss if they lose to Clemson. It's going to be hard for him to get the Heisman over a guy like C.J. Stroud, who Ohio State's probably going to the college football playoff. So that's usually how. That's usually how they do it, is the teams that are in contention still are the ones who get the players who get the most love, unless the teams who are in contention don't have anybody special, like the years that RG3 and Johnny Manziel won it, like they both did.
Yeah.
They both had spectacular years, but they weren't in contention for national championships. So those are the outliers, but usually it's the guys in contention for national championships that are the ones who ultimately win it. But at the end of the day, it's also a popularity contest. So if Drake May can put on a show in the ACC championship game and Stroud and Young aren't in their conference championship games, then, them being the last thing that voters see, that might possibly give Drake May the edge. But what else? No, that's it.
What you think about Caleb Williams?
I've always thought he was a baller. I don't think he gets – it's hard for West Coast people to get Heisman hype, right? You have to have – one, your team has to be dominant, but because nobody really stays up till 10 o'clock to catch those games, It's unfair, but it's unrealistic to say that every media member watches – every single player that is.
Oh yeah, they absolutely don't.
So if they tell you they do, they're liars. And so there's no way for them to watch everybody. So they watch the guys who are on primetime. They watch the guys who are on TV a lot. Ohio State's on TV all the time. Alabama's on TV all the time. So those are the names that people know. But I like Caleb Williams last year. I mean, he's a baller, but I don't think he'll get the Heisman. I don't think he has the Heisman hype, even though he has similar numbers to Drake May. He's thrown for 3,400 yards, 33 touchdowns, and only three interceptions. And he has a ton of rushing yards too. So, but I don't think he'll get the hype just because that West Coast is hard to, it's hard for people to get past that. So it usually takes a ridiculous performance for West Coast players to get the Heisman hype because they play so late and a lot of people go to sleep and don't watch them play. But Caleb Williams is playing really well. He probably will get Hendon Hooker's invite if we're being serious. Cause you know,
Well, I mean, I was just thinking, they got Notre Dame, right, which of course they're going to lose that.
Doubt it. But
then they got the Pac-12 right, championship. So, I mean, he still has opportunities.
He's in the same boat as Drake May. The USC Notre Dame game, it's a 7:30 ABC kickoff, so all eyes. And then also, like you said, he has the Pac-12 championship game, which should be a standalone. I think they might. Do they do theirs on Friday? The Friday of championship week, something like that, I want to say is what the Big 12 does, or what the Pac-12 does. So he will have the opportunity for championship week to actually go out
Friday in Las Vegas, December 2nd.
So he'll have the opportunity to go out and everybody will be watching USC and Oregon, I think it'll probably be. Is it not?
USC and Utah, I think. I think they might get a rematch. No, Oregon won last night, right?
Oregon won last night.
Okay, so yeah, it will be USC and Oregon.
So yeah.
No. Maybe USC and Washington, because Washington beat Oregon.
They did. You're right.
Last week.
I don't know how the Pac-12 does it, because they don't have split conferences. So I thought.
No, they have North and South.
No, they don't. Not no more. They don't. Not no more. So they take the highest two.
Top two teams. Okay, well, that would be USC and Oregon.
Yeah, so because they only have 12, so they don't have split.
Oh,
yeah. They don't have split. So, yeah, it'll just be the top.
Nah, they still got
it. Do they? I'm looking at it right now. They don't have them. ESPN doesn't have them split. Like, they have the SEC split into East and West. They have the ACC split, but they don't have the Pac-12 split. They have Big 10 split. So all the teams that have splits, they have them split, but they don't have the Pac-12 split. So I don't think Pac-12 splits. I think they just play the top two.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think it'll be USC Oregon, but don't quote me on that. But either way, USC will be in the championship game, so they'll have an opportunity to. Caleb Williams will have an opportunity to put on two showcase games that should get him at least an invite to the festivities for the Heisman, at least an invite. All right, switching to switching to the NBA. We just did college football. All right, so KD had an interview that made no sense to me because he talked about why he requested a trade. And one of the reasons that he listed for requesting a trade was that he just started listing off the team that was around him. And to me, his comments made no sense. And the reason they made no sense is, dude, you had everything. You had everything you complained about as far as teams go and organizations for that matter in Golden State, but you decided that you needed to leave because you weren't the guy or you wanted to play with your friend or some combination of the two. So how can you now complain about your team not being up to snuff when you had the opportunity to have a team like that team you left? After 2 years after you leaving, they just won a championship. I'm not saying they were better without them, but they had the team and have been organization proven that they will put the pieces around you to be successful, whereas Brooklyn has yet to demonstrate that. So I don't understand how you can complain about your teammates when you had a situation that you had everything you could ask for, except you wanted more or wanted something else. So that whole interview, that whole conversation made no sense to me. It was confusing.
You mean he's not happy with Edmund Sumner, Royce O'Neal, Joe Harris, and Nick Claxton?
I get it. I understand why he's not happy, but you made your bed.
I understand, but
you made your bed.
You put yourself in that situation.
Nobody, right. You weren't traded to Brooklyn. You decided to go to Brooklyn. So who are you mad at? Like, really, the only person you got to be mad at is Kevin Anthony Durant. I gotta stop giving these dudes their own middle names. But I don't know his middle name. But the only person you can be mad at is Kevin Durant. You can't be mad at the Nets. You can't be mad at the GM. You can't be mad at anybody but yourself because you put yourself in that situation. So I don't understand what he expected from the Nets franchise, who haven't been proven to put anything together worthwhile. Ever. So his whole interview didn't make sense to me. And then you hitched your wagon to one of the most unreliable players, because there's no telling what will,
if he's going to be able to play.
There's no telling what will distract him to not play a game. And then you got Ben Simmons, who is a work in progress, to say the least. I mean, Ben Simmons has all the talent in the world, but he's still yet to figure out how to put it all together, or he's yet to put it all together for whatever reason. But I mean, to say Ben Simmons isn't talented would be a lie. He's talented as hell. He just hasn't put it together. So you hitched yourself. And even though, yeah, the Ben Simmons wasn't there when he got there, but still, you hitched yourself to Kyrie and the Nets organization, both unreliable, in my opinion. So I don't know what you expected. That's
hey, man, play silly games, win silly prizes.
Yeah, man, definitely
got a silly
prize. He should probably get that tattooed. That should be a tattoo idea for Kevin. All right, last topic. Something that low-key annoys me. The narrative that the NFL uses, that fans use, is, so people are saying that the Eagles aren't a true contender because they've only played cupcake games. And I don't know what people expect. Like, one, this isn't college. Like, these coaches don't pick their schedule. And two, every team's going to run across cupcakes. So your other two contenders, so to speak, are Buffalo and Kansas City. I mean, Buffalo's had their fair share of cupcakes. The Rams aren't that good this year. The Steelers are trash. Green Bay is trash. And the Browns, they play the Browns this week. The Browns aren't that good. And Kansas City, your other contender, also have played cupcakes. The Cardinals aren't good. The Chargers are not in a good position right now with so many injured receivers. The Colts aren't good, even though they lost to the Colts. The Raiders aren't good. And the Jaguars aren't good. So all three of your contending teams have played teams that aren't good. That's just the name of the game. Not every NFL team is a true Super Bowl or even playoff contender. But I feel like what happens in the NFL is we decide at the beginning of the year who is supposed to be good and who isn't. And when that doesn't happen, we have to find an excuse as to why that team is where they are. Yeah, because coming into the season, Philly wasn't supposed to be where they are. They definitely weren't supposed to be 8-1, and Jalen Hurts wasn't supposed to be balling the way he was. Everybody had questions about Jalen Hurts. I even questioned Jalen Hurts because I didn't know if he would get out of a running mindset. And he's out of a running mindset. He is slinging the ball. But coming into the season, he had a lot of question marks. The team had a lot of question marks. So they weren't the favorites of their division, let alone favorites of the NFC. So now that they are dominating and playing really well, now we need a reason, right? We can't just say, oh, they're just playing really good football. Defense is good. Quarterback's playing really good. They went out and got a superstar wide receiver. Like everything's meshing really well. Instead of just saying that, we have to come up with a narrative like, oh man, they weren't supposed to be good. We didn't pick them in the preseason. So instead of just saying, oh man, we were wrong, like we got to come up with a reason. Everybody needs a reason. And then the easiest reason to go to is, oh, they haven't played anybody. Their schedule's been weak. Like when they did play somebody, Dallas had a backup quarterback. All of this nonsense. So it's just one of those lazy narratives that I think happens around football is when something doesn't go the way that we think it should go, we just automatically flip to, oh man, they weren't supposed to be good, so we're just automatically gonna say they've had a cupcake schedule. When every contender has a decently easy schedule to some degree, like that you're not at gonna some play
point, right.
Yeah, you're not playing every playoff team. That's just not how the schedule breaks out, and that's not how teams break out. That's just not how it goes. So
just for context, the Eagles have currently the 11th toughest schedule in the NFL. Their opposition's opponent is 41-36-1. The Bills come in at 16, and the Chiefs are at 31. Yeah. So, listen, if you play 16 and above, which is basically a 500 team, as far as, hey man, yeah, nah. Skip that.
Yeah, it's not. It's just an easy go to, but it's not the true. It doesn't tell the true story. And the true story is that
definitely doesn't.
You know, this is actually a pretty good team that's playing really well, and they aren't getting the credit that they deserve. At least some people. I mean, some people have been picked to be. Come out and represent the NFC, but I know I've seen multiple people say on the Twitter, you know, these are, I guess everybody's a blue check guy now, but supposedly actual media sources talk about the easy schedule that the Eagles have had, but I don't think clearly you just highlighted they all had generally the same schedule with the exception of the Chiefs. So
they have all had.
So yeah, it's just one.
Shout out to the Giants, who actually have the toughest schedule in the league this year, and they're doing all right.
Yeah, see, and then with the Giants, I've heard people just say, you know, they've just got fluky wins, but so like there's a, because again, they weren't supposed to be good, so
you just can't give credit to somebody who you didn't expect.
So that's how it works, man. That's just how it works. All right, man. Let me go through my notes, man. Yep, talked about Brady wife leaving him because he makes bad investments. So, yeah, man. That's all I got. So. I don't think.
FD. I, hey man, I don't know what to say. That dude. So they're saying that this is possibly worse than Enron, and yeah, it's a bad.
Yeah, my pop said he read a story about how dude was just giving money to his girlfriend, who had a bunch of failed companies of her own or something like that. So, yeah, man, it's crazy. It's I'm glad I didn't invest.
Did jump on that, man.
I stick to the household names when it comes to investments, man. I play clean and boring. So okay, yeah,
clean and boring is the way.
Yeah,
to
I'm
go.
Not trying to end up in the Brady boat. My wife took the kids. And now he got to play. Now you got to get hit by 300-pound lineman for the next 5 years to recoup some of what he lost.
Just to make it back up.
That doesn't sound fun at all.
All right, everybody.
Oh, man.
Poor Thomas.
Old Thomas. Poor Thomas. Eugene Brady.
All right. Check us out on YouTube.
Maybe.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed. Hit us up by email, thelazy-show@icloud.com. Check us out, thelazy-show.buzzsprout.com. If you want to see any of our past episodes, hit us up on Twitter and everywhere else that podcasts are found. Y'all tune in. Keep an eye out for the YouTube channel because... Yeah. I'm feeling real good about it now, man. We got some footage. And,
we'll see how it goes. My fantasy lineup, right?
But that's about it, man.
Yeah, nah, I got nothing else. I'm trying to get my fantasy lineup together. But
word. I'm about to go cook some breakfast and then, get ready to watch some football today.
We got practice at 2, so I'll probably watch a little bit. The grind never stops, man.
Ooh. Hey, man. Hey, that's why you make the big bucks, man. That's why you make the big bucks.
Yeah, right. All right, man. That's all I got.
All right, so we're going to get on out of here. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. This is Tainment.
Tyrese.
We are the Lazy Dads, and y'all have a good day.
Peace.